Good morning, church. It's great to be together, and it's great to be connected with those of you who are worshiping online with us. It's wonderful to be in God's house for this third Sunday of Advent. The children's choirs are here this morning, and it's going to be a wonderful day of worship together. Let's remember, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm Rockford Johnson, and it's a joy to serve as senior pastor, along with so many good leaders and all of you, as we carry out this mission to change lives that change the world. Our ushers are passing the connection pads. Leave us your name, if you would, and let people around you see your name and get to know you. If this is your first time with us, we have some welcome cards. If you would fill out one of those and leave it with one of the greeters at either door as your exit, then they would give you a gift bag as our way of saying, thank you for being with us. We're delighted you are here. Let us know how we can pray for you. You can go to our website, mcfarlandumc.org. There's a prayer request button on the front page. Let us know how we can celebrate with you and also pray about your concerns with you. This is Advent season, of course, and next Sunday, December 19 at 7 p.m., we have our Blue Christmas service of healing and hope. And if you're hurting in a particular way during this season, or you know those who are, then please share that news and ask them to come and be a part of that as well. Tonight is the annual Candlelight Carol concert. It will be a wonderful time. We missed it last year. We're here this year. And there are many of your family and friends and neighbors, strangers, maybe even your enemies who would like to come and be a part of this Candlelight Carol. So reach out to them this afternoon and let them know about the good news of what's happening here at McFarland. Today we continue our series, He Will Bring Us Goodness and Light. It takes the title of the sermon and the theme for today takes its title from that song, Do You Know What I Know? And today we look at whether or not we know the depth and the reach of the story of the birth and the arrival of Jesus. So let's stand to sing our first hymn, number 250, Once in Royal David City.
Thank you. Please be seated. Following the scripture readings, please join us in our Advent reading as printed in your bulletin. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. All of us, today we light the candle of joy, joy that comes from knowing God and knowing we are children of the light, joy that comes from knowing that we will see the goodness of the Lord here among God's people, joy that gives us strength to be strong and hope in the Lord. Think about it. Do you know who I am?
Will you please pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, this morning we humbly come before thy throne of glory and mercy and thanking you for the opportunity you have given us to stop in order to hear your word. Lord Jesus, we have so much to seek and to do. We seek a quiet space to hear your voice this morning. We who are anxious over many things to look forward to your kingdom among us. We who are blessed in so many ways, but we long for the complete joy of your kingdom. We whose heart are heavy, we seek the joy of your presence in our lives. O God of hope, who brought love in this world, we pray that you be the love that dwells between us. Heavenly Father, the scripture reminds us that for where there is two or three gathered in my name, there I am with them. Heavenly Father, we believe that your presence is with us this morning. Lord Jesus, this morning we have come to you with different needs and requests. Some are even unspoken, but you are God Almighty who knows our heart desires. Dear God, may you give strength to those who are weak. May you provide healing to those who are sick this morning. Heavenly Father, in this particular moment, we even remember those who lost their loved ones during two different circumstances. May you comfort them, O God of mercy. We're even sending out even our thoughts and prayers to the communities in Arkansas, Tennessee, Illinois, Mississippi, Kentucky, and Missouri, Lord. Heavenly Father, may you comfort these families. May you provide, Jehovah God, healing to those who are seeking you, because you are God of hope. You are God of hope who brought peace in this world. Be the peace that dwells between your people. Heavenly Father, without forgetting those who even lost hope in you, God, during this time of Advent, we remember Mary and Joseph giving thanks for their faithfulness, courage, and obedience, Lord, stepping out to the unknown in the strength of your spirit, playing their part in the fulfillment of your plan to bring your prodigal people back home again. We pray that their example might be the pattern of our lives. Now, will you join me as we now pray the prayer that Jesus taught us? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand and join us in singing hymn 216, Lo, How Rose Are Blooming, 216.
As we enter into our time of offering, let me once again say thank you to you, McFarland Church, for the many ways we do Advent and Christmas so well around here, from our celebrations and our programs and our ministries, to our opportunities to serve those in need in our community. 250 children are going to have Christmas gifts under their tree this Christmas morning because of our giving to Angel Tree. We have special Christmas offerings, so many opportunities, and over again, you as a church family, step up. Thank you. Thank you for celebrating well. As we enter into this time of offering, you may now be seated.
Thank you.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of John, chapter 1, verse 10 up to 13, and Matthew, chapter 2, verse 1 up to 12. Won't you hear his word? He was in the world, and the world came to being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave them power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but the will of God. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 up to 13. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born of the Jews? For we observed his star, its rising, and have come to pay him homage." When the king Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all the Jerusalem with him, and calling together all the chief priests and scribe of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you have come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may go and pay him homage." When they heard the king, they set out, and they ahead of them when the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary and Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Opening the treasure chest, they offered him gift of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left their own country by another road. This is the word of God, the people of God. Thank you.
Let us pray. Oh God, we have heard the reading of the word, and now we are listening for the voice of the Spirit. And we pray that you would use these words, speak through them, find your way into the depths of our thinking and feeling, even down to what it is that we want and what it is we will, so that we might be the sheep of your good shepherd. Speak to us, we pray, in the name and the way of Jesus. Amen. It was December 1983, and everything was beginning to look and feel a lot like Christmas, at least Christmas in the Northern Hemisphere. We were living in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for seminary, and by mid-December until sometime in January, all of Oklahoma and a large part of Texas was frozen in Arctic air. Oklahoma City was below freezing for 14 days. Some of those days at or near below zero. Our son was a year and a half old, and we hit the road headed for Northwest Oklahoma for Christmas. right in the middle of that deep freeze. So we heeded the warning about putting gasoline antifreeze in the tank in case there was condensate that would freeze in the line. Just north of Oklahoma City, there was a car stalled on the side with blinking lights just before one of those exits. And this was pre-cell phone days. And with a small child in the car, I didn't really want to stop, so I just pulled off the exit and found a phone at a convenience store and called the highway patrol so they could come and check on that car. It was just so cold outside. On December 24, I spent the day with my dad feeding cattle and breaking ice so that the cattle would be taken care of. And it was brutal out there. On that day, it was a little below zero in northwest Oklahoma, and the wind was howling up to 30 miles an hour. The windchill just would not relent. It caused some serious shivering when we were outside of the truck for too long. The third stanza of the popular Christmas song, known as Do You See What I See, said the shepherd boy to the mighty king, "Do you know what I know? In your palace warm, mighty king, a child shivers in the cold. Let us bring him silver and gold." The song has double meaning. It reminds us of the Christ child born in humble conditions, and also of every child in need. And while we often imagine Jesus born in the cold of winter, we have no biblical or historical record of a date of birth. Nevertheless, there is this sense in which Jesus was born out in the cold, or shall we say, was given the cold shoulder by some. We heard in the reading from the gospel that the world did not know him, and that even in his own particular context and among his own people, many did not acknowledge or recognize what his coming meant. There's also a lot of not knowing in the story of the Magi. The wise men from a foreign country somewhere east of Palestine represent the wider world that did not know Jesus. King Herod, who's Idumean or Arabic by birth, but Jewish by religion, partially represents his own people, their own people, those who don't acknowledge. The Magi don't know exactly where Jesus is born, don't know that King Herod doesn't know anything about the birth of a new ruler. It's disturbing news to him. And Herod does not know what to tell them, so he calls for the biblical scholars for assistance, and the Magi don't know that Herod is lying when he says to them, "Come back and tell me where this child is so that I can worship him," when actually he wants to eliminate him. Herod is clueless that Jesus is born not to take away his throne in some military coup, but to rule as a shepherd tends a flock. There is that quoted passage in Matthew, "And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." Herod fears the emergence of a rival dynasty. He represents those then and later and now who want to politicize Jesus rather than acknowledge him as Savior in whom we find God with us, Emmanuel, the shepherding, ministering God who lives with the people. And then there is John, the baptizing prophet, the witness. He represents Jesus' own people, not the royals, but the common religious people who don't yet know the identity of Jesus. And later in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, in the verses 31 to 34, we hear John say, "And I myself did not know him. But," and then he goes on, and then again, "and I myself did not know him, but," and then he goes on. And in the third "I myself" statement, John turns to say, "And I myself have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." His not knowing the identity of Jesus transformed into knowing. And what does it mean to know that Jesus is the Son of God? It means that Jesus represents and embodies the full expression of God's nature and method of operation as the Shepherd God. In John chapter 10, Jesus self-identifies as the Good Shepherd. The shepherd who, rather than take lives like King Herod would do, he lays down his life for the sheep. He goes on to say in that chapter, "I know my own, and my own know me," as the Good Shepherd. For Jesus to be known as God is also to say he is the Lamb of God who removes the sin of the world. It means that God, working through Jesus, enables ordinary people to be, quote, born of God, or born again, or born afresh by the Spirit into the company of people who act like Jesus. When we acknowledge Jesus as Son of God and allow His will and way to be reborn in us, we are rescued from the sin of the world, and in particular, the self-serving sin of insulation. Jesus is the Word of God, the living message of God, as the Gospel says, in full and real human experience. As embodiment of God in the flesh, Jesus has muscles that would shiver in the cold, and skin that would sweat in the heat, and hands that would bleed. He is not insulated from the trouble of the world. He is the Good Shepherd who puts himself between the sheep and the wolf and is ready to bear in his body the marks of the predator's fangs. Jesus has a heart for the least, the lost, the little one. In the partly imaginary Christmas song that I referenced, the poor shepherd boy dares to go to a powerful king in a grand palace with fireplaces blazing and ask the king, "Well, are you ignorant or what? Do you know what I know? Don't you know a child shivers in the cold? Don't you know?" A child that represents many children shivering in the cold, thirsty in the heat, hungry for justice to roll down like a mighty stream. Children lonely in the streets. King Herod, also known as Herod the Great, was a subordinate king under the Emperor of Rome. He had several palaces, but his principal grand residence was in Jerusalem. And the ancient Jewish historian Josephus describes the palace as made of white marble stones constructed with exquisite workmanship, no cost being spared. He describes multiple porticos, pillars, canals, cisterns, groves of trees, fountains, and then says that it's all beyond his ability even to describe. He writes about huge bedroom suites with hundreds places for hundreds of guests, as if it were also an enormous hotel. The ceilings were remarkable in design and ornamentation. There were many rooms, and all of them quite impressive with statues and wonderful furniture. And he writes, quote, "The greatest part of the vessels that were put in them was silver and gold." And the shepherd boy in the song describes the king as, "In your palace warm, mighty king." King Herod fits the bill. He could be well insulated from the sad desperation of a child who shivers in the cold. Insulation. stuff they put in our coats and in our attic to keep us warm, is also the barrier to knowing what we need to know when it comes to the suffering of the world. The barrier to knowing the sin and error of the world that results in suffering. Suffering that finally comes down to one child somewhere, not just a number on a spreadsheet of statistics, but a child like one shivering in the cold who may not be able to focus on the future or school or holidays or anything beyond daily survival. It's hard to focus on meaning and goals and future, even on growing up, when in the grip of urgent and immediate jeopardy. I remember another bitterly cold night when I was a young child, perhaps around in the fourth grade. My dad, older brother, and I had gone to the farm to check on a young cow that was due to deliver her first calf, and Dad was worried about how that would go. It was already dark in the evening, and the wind was howling, and we were bundled up in coats and gloves and stocking caps. Of course, as far as I know, this was before insulated coveralls, and so just jeans on our legs. So we loaded up hay in one of the barns and put it on the truck, and they went out to feed, drop that to the cattle, and check on that cow, and I stayed in the barn while they did that. And unknown to me, they found that the cow was out there near another barn and had gone into labor. And so between labor pains, they coaxed her into the barn to watch her. Well, by this time, I was feeling quite cold, just standing there in sub-freezing temperature with quite a bit of wind penetrating that old barn. And I began to move and jump around and pat my hands together to stay warm. And in the other barn, that young cow was struggling, and they were assisting with that birth. It was urgent and timely, and I was back in the other barn unaware why it was taking so long. It seemed like time itself was frozen in this kind of small forever. I began to shiver some and shake a little. My teeth even clattered some. The only thing I could focus on was how cold I was, how I felt, how I wished they would return. And they did shortly. They came in, and I got in that warm truck, and Dad took off my gloves and blew his warm breath on my hands and rubbed my hands and took me home and put me in that warm house. And I was never really in great danger. Any child shivering in the cold, either literally or because of some other dire circumstance, a child without access to necessary and kind intervention, is a child in real danger, a child in great need of goodness and light. In 2019, more than 5 million children died worldwide before reaching age 5, and nearly half of those deaths were among newborns. Due to wars, refugee status, domestic abuse, dire poverty, poor health care, many children living are not flourishing, but only surviving. And we know that, of course, or at least we know about it indirectly, abstractly. And yet we are insulated. We have warm homes and heated car seats. We may not have enormous palaces, but we have conveniences and comforts that would be the envy of King Herod. And we are hyper busy, and that in itself can be a form of insulation from the cold realities. What can we do? What are we called to do? What do we do? Of course, collectively, as McFarland, and in partnership with United Methodist Churches worldwide, we can do quite a lot. And we can heed the daring call of the shepherd boy to the mighty king. Let us bring him our silver and our gold. In the name of Christ, we do provide material relief of food and utilities and shoes and special services and warm coats. We work with organizations such as Food and Shelter and the Clothing Closet over at First Baptist, and two organizations that take coats into the homeless camps here in Norman. And last school year, when that bitter cold hit us in February, we delivered about 50 coats to Jackson and Adams Elementary Schools. And at this season of the year, many of those children who make requests through our Angel Tree effort ask for coats for Christmas presents. All told, we give out more than 200 coats per year. That's not to say we've done enough, or to, as we say, toot our horn. There are still many gaps to be filled with Christ-centered ministry. One child anywhere in the world in jeopardy is one child too many. But together with all the churches of Norman and all the churches of Oklahoma and all the churches, our sister churches around the world, we do make a real difference. It is good to use our resources to change lives and rescue the perishing. When we give to one of the least of these, as the gospel tells us, we know that we give to the Christ child, whom we know, of course, as the crucified and risen Lord. In addition to relief ministries, we can also put our faith into action and advocacy. We can speak up to the powers that be. We can write our political leaders and share convictions evoked by our faith, advocating for policies and changes or whatever to help the plight of children in danger of many kinds. Our prayers need our speech, and our compassion needs our action. We also know that there are many children who need to hear the good news of God's love in Jesus Christ. Children who need to be shaped toward adulthood, not only with the stories of the birth of Jesus, but the whole story, the whole picture of Jesus as Savior and Liberator. Many need to know the good news that Jesus is the Good Shepherd who lays down His life so that each and all can be set free. Set free by the grace of God to flourish in all that God is doing and all that we do together. Adults and children alike are yearning to hear the truth, recalling a phrase from last week's sermon, the truth that God's mercy is wide, God's love is deep, and you, dear child, are loved. For God so loved the world that God sent God's uniquely begotten Son to bring us goodness and light. Let me ask you to take this action in this season. Find the stories of the birth of Jesus in the Bible, Luke chapter 2, Matthew chapter 2. Find those stories and read one or both of them with a child, your child or a grandchild or a great-grandchild or a niece or nephew or a younger sibling or a friend. And then just talk about the good news. Talk about children in the world, cold, shivering, or hungry. And listen. Listen to the children. Listen to the Spirit. Talk about gifting at Christmas and how we also give gifts to those who have less. Break through the insulation of seasonal rush and exhaustion. Step outside of the customary and the usual and seek to know the Christ story in all its comforting and comfort-disturbing depth and brilliance. It will bring you goodness and light. Let us pray. Oh God, we know that into deep darkness and coldness comes the warmth and the brilliance of your grace into our lives and for the lives of others. And so we pray that you would empower us, enable us to receive your goodness and light, to follow Jesus, Son of God, Lamb who takes away our sinfulness. Break us free from the insulation. Lead us, fill us. We are yours. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you stand to sing our hymn, number 206, I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light. Certainly been a rich day of worship with our children leading us in worship. What a gift they are to us and all of their families and this great choir. And remember, many of these choirs are coming tonight, Candlelight Carol concert. So invite your friends, come back and be with us this evening. And now may the God of all hope fill you with such joy and peace and believing that hope may abound in you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.